Welcome to the Lyricast Snippet, episode number 47. In this episode, we're talking about just some little tips for starting your first SaaS app. Nothing groundbreaking, but just maybe little things I've accumulated along the way that maybe I didn't know before. Some of it will seem very much like common sense, but it's funny, common sense, as they say, isn't always so common, especially when you're trying to start something on your own and you really don't know what you're doing and you're very naive and yada, yada, yada. Okay, so let's just go through this list and we'll see where it takes us. Very first one, your naivete is your greatest weapon. This is a tip I learned many years ago, and for whatever reason, it stuck with me. You know, you have certain things where you can't explain why, but just this bit of advice or that memory or that specific thing has stuck with you for a very long time. That is the case with this one. Once again, your naivete is your greatest weapon. So sometimes when you start a business, you can get it in your head that there are so many steps to follow that it's not even worth it. Oh, you're going to need to meet with a lawyer, and you need to get this document set up, and you need to make sure you file with this, and then you create your corporation here, and then you file the paperwork there, and you just start getting overwhelmed to the point where you don't do anything. You go back to your day job, and you never think of it again. But you know what? I think that's bad. Those are all things you'll probably end up having to deal with. But you know what? When you're just launching and you haven't made $0 just yet, you really don't need to worry about it yet. You can tackle those things as they arise. But for now, just get it out the door. Set up some kind of payment provider like Stripe so you can immediately begin accepting money, and then you can take it one step at a time. You're completely naive, you don't understand all the steps, and that's entirely okay. Okay, next. As soon as you make enough revenue in a single month to consider doing this full time, get a good accountant fast. This is something I didn't do. I thought I could kind of manage it on my own. I'm good with numbers. I'm good with math. I'm good with my personal finances. But you know what? When it comes to your business, it's kind of a whole different ballgame. The reality is, at least coming from a United States perspective, it's incredibly frustrating and complicated. Do not try to do this stuff on your own. Instead, find a really good accountant. And don't go to your local accountant down the road next to the Kroger, you know? Do some research, ask her advice, and you may find a big company with lots of staff, and that's good. It'll keep you safe. My first accountant was one of those things where it was like a small business. He kind of handled everything. He had one assistant. And you know what? That was okay for a while, but very quickly, it just started going downhill when he became too busy, and it was impossible to get a reply from him, and it became very frustrating for me. So instead, I went online, I had some advice given to me from some Twitter friends, and I now have a far better company taking care of me. And trust me, if you can pass the weight of managing all that over to people who know what they're doing, you can then focus more of your energy on your actual job, which is great. And trust me, they're not nearly as expensive as you might think. This is not something where you're going to give them 20 grand a year. It's not even remotely like that. For a really good accountant, you might give $5,000 a year or like $500 a month. Or again, in the early stages, you can probably get that number down to $100 a month or something along those lines and then build up as you go. All right, so moving on. Next, if you're listening to this podcast and you're going to start a business or start a SaaS app, you're probably the developer starting the business, right? So you're not necessarily a business person. You're going to need to learn that on the go. So what you'll probably end up doing is visiting Amazon and buying a bunch of books. And this is good, but one word of caution. So many of the business books you may buy are almost entirely irrelevant to this style of business. So you're building up a SaaS app, maybe you're accepting subscriptions, you don't even have any real inventory per se, you're not going to have staff for quite a while. Yeah, it's tough because you'll read some of these books on starting your first business, and they just don't apply to your situation whatsoever. So be careful about that. Nothing bad can come from reading them, of course, but just keep in mind they may not be as useful as you would hope. Now, next, sort of going in line with that, be very careful about trying to make yourself bigger than you are at this point. I see this all the time. People start up a little business and then suddenly you go to their Twitter bio and it says CEO. And it's like, what are you talking about? CEO of a one-person company? Why are you doing this? Don't try to make yourself look more official or important than you actually are at that point. If your name is Mike and you've started a business, then your Twitter bio should say Mike. You know, that's it. You don't need to label yourself, even if you have gone to the point of creating a corporation and you're technically the CEO. Like, that's how it is with Laracast. I have a corporation and I am technically the CEO. I would never in a million years go around calling myself the CEO. You know, who does that benefit? It benefits absolutely no one except maybe your own ego. Don't do that stuff. And also on that note, we kind of talked about this already, but you don't have to meet with the lawyer and get the terms of services and the forms and all that stuff. You don't immediately have to, as soon as you make a decent amount in revenue for the month, you don't have to immediately go out and hire five people because then you're official. You see this all the time. Trust me, I've seen companies with far less revenue than Laracast has, but they're immediately hiring people. They're up to 2, 3, 4 people and trying to hire more. You know, if you have these huge aspirations and you know where you're going, okay, fine. But, you know, just make sure this isn't you getting a big head where you think you have the next big thing. So, of course, the only appropriate follow-up is to just start hiring across the board. Be very careful about that. All right, next, moving on. I talked about this a bit in a previous podcast. Very simple. Automate as much as possible. So as a general rule of thumb, especially in the early days, it's kind of you doing everything. So if you're doing it manually over and over, that needs to be fixed. And this could be as simple as if you keep writing the same reply email, so it's a common question, then one, set up a template so you don't have to write that at least, or two, add it to your FAQ section or your customer support form page so that people don't even need to bother filling it out. Yeah. Anything along those lines. If you're doing it over and over, find a way to automate it so that you can get back to focusing on important things. Okay, so we're about halfway through. A very quick recap. One, your naivete is your greatest weapon. Two, as soon as you make enough in a month to consider doing it full-time, get an accountant fast. Three, be careful about all the business books. So many of them offer irrelevant advice for this style of business. So just in general, be kind of a skeptic. Four, don't get a big head. Don't become the CEO of a one-person company. Don't start hiring a half dozen people as soon as you make $5,000 in a single month. Take it slow and be careful and be humble. Next, number five, automate as much as possible. If you're doing it manually, this needs to be fixed. Okay, let's continue on. Number six, this is one I've dealt with quite a bit. The guilt is the hardest part. So when you start something on your own, you are the single point of contact for every possible thing. Whether it's somebody who has a question about a bill, or somebody who needs an invoice, or the server going down, or a new feature that needs to be implemented. Every single one of those rests on your shoulders. So if you're anything like me, you can fall into this trap where you feel guilty when you're not working. This is especially true when Laracast started doing well. If I ever took something like a half day off, it was almost difficult for me to enjoy it because in the back of my head, I'm thinking, you need to be working. The site is doing well. Do not let this drift away. Or do not let somebody else come in and do it better. You need to be working on this. You need to be working on this. And to some extent, that's very good because it keeps you working. But on the other hand, it's very bad for your own well-being because you can't enjoy being with your family because in the back of your head, you're thinking, oh my gosh, if I'm not working on this, then somebody's going to pass me by and I'm going to lose everything. And then I'm going to go broke and I'm going to be homeless. And you know how your mind works with things like that. So yeah, if you're any bit like me, you will find this. The guilt is the hardest part. So next, once again, going in line with that, you need to set office hours. And this is pretty difficult in the early stages. I'm not going to lie and say I did it. In fact, I'm not going to lie and say I do it perfectly right now. But I do it better than I did it before. So when you're getting started, it's basically just around the clock. You're working on it in the morning, and you're probably working on a laptop in bed at 11 o'clock at night. That's just kind of what is required to do everything on your own. That's okay for a period of time, but trust me, after a while, you need to have office hours. You need to, in fact, what I have now is I have a dedicated office in my house, and when those doors shut around 5 or 6 o'clock at night, I don't go back in. In fact, the shutting of the office doors is kind of a symbol that I'm done with work. But I'm not going to lie and say I'm not answering emails in the kitchen when I'm making dinner. But having said that, every month I try to do better because we're not on this planet to work nonstop. We have to do it. We're passionate about it. But at some point, you have to turn it off and focus on your family. All right, moving on. Be a human being. It's amazing this has to be said, but it's true. And this is mostly in terms of how you handle customer support or how you handle your social media. Do not try to be the formal company. I mean, once again, who does that serve? Nobody likes it. You are not more proper, more formal, or more important because you use generic language when replying to somebody. If somebody submits a support request, don't respond and say, "Thank you so much for the support request." Within 24 hours, you will receive a response. Sincerely, Jeffrey Wei, and of course, CEO. Don't do that. Act like a human being. If somebody submits a support request because you screwed something up, then just hit reply and say, "Whoops, sorry about that," and then put a smiley face. There's human beings on both ends. We do not need to build ourselves up into something we aren't. Or think about it like this. Think of all of your good interactions with customer support or a company, whether you filled out a form or you tweeted them or you mentioned them on Facebook. If you have a good experience doing this, in almost every case, it's because they acted like a human being. Whether it's somebody tweeting Target and then they reply with something very funny, or they reply with a link that rickrolls the person. Anything that makes you look less like some corporation or company and more like a human being, I promise people will respond to it much better. Okay, two more. Next up, think small and iterate. And this is pretty common advice at this point, so nothing groundbreaking here. When I say think small, it's very easy to, at the beginning, build up how grand your empire is going to be. And you're going to do this and this and this, and then you're going to branch out to this and this. That's cool. That's cool to write down. It's cool to brainstorm, but it's not reality. The reality is, what is the smallest component I can have? The smallest little fragment of my imagination that I can launch and begin making money? And usually this means you take the core of your product, very few features, and you get it out the door, and then slowly you begin iterating as you get feedback and as you start realizing what some of the pitfalls are for your users. If you, on the other hand, just keep waiting to launch and you keep adding more and more and more, the truth is, more often than not, you never launch. Or two, you end up creating such a monstrosity of features that nobody wants to use it at all. So yeah, just get the basic core of whatever your product or whatever your service is out the door, and then every single month, iterate on it. Okay, so that's 9 out of 10. Let's do our final recap, and then we'll finish up for the day. Okay, number one, your naivete is your greatest weapon. Number two, as soon as you make enough in a month to consider doing this product full-time, get a good accountant fast. Three, so many business books and advice are not made for your SaaS app. They are meant for a typical brick-and-mortar business. And yes, so much doesn't apply, so be careful. Four, do not get a big head. Do not become the CEO of a one-person company. Number five, automate as much as humanly possible. If you're doing it manually over and over, you need to fix it. Number six, the guilt is the hardest part. This need to feel like you're earning your business can be toxic in many ways. It's good in the early days, it's bad in the later days. So be careful with your time. You can only do so many 18-hour days. Number seven, at some point, once you get this product out the door, you need to have office hours that you adhere to. If you're not careful, you just spend your entire day and your entire night working on it, and before you know it, it's dark outside and you've lost the entire day. Number eight, whether it's customer support or dealing with social media, act like a human being. Do not be formal. Do not be proper. Do not act like a generic corporation. Act like a person. So that brings us to number 10. This is one I picked up from Derek Sivers. He's the guy who created CD Baby and sold it for millions of dollars years ago. He has so much good common sense advice. I highly recommend listening to anything you can find from him. Okay, number 10, know where you want to go. This is really important. So let's just imagine that your company has become successful enough to the point that you can begin steering the ship. All right, well, when you hit a fork in the road, you need to know which direction you want to go. So, in other words, do you envision this becoming a huge, grand, big company with hundreds of employees? Do you anticipate eventually going for VC funding so you can push things up a notch and add to your marketing and have money to hire another 20 people? Is that something on your radar? Or do you want to stay smaller? Do you want to keep it where it's just you or maybe you and one or two other people? The important thing is there's no right or wrong here. Just make sure that you're going down the right path. So I could tell you in my particular case, if I wanted to, I could hire a bunch of people. I could go out and try to sell Laracast or get some funding. That's very much an option for the business, but I've intentionally not done that. I've intentionally not hired more help, even though plenty of people in my position would do just that. It's important to figure out what you want the business to be. I do not want some grand thing with 30 employees. I don't want that. It's great. There's nothing wrong with businesses who do, but that's not what I want. So what is happiness to you? A huge business where you're CEO and you're kind of overseeing your new empire? Or do you want something small and maintainable so that you can focus on your family? There's no wrong or right. You just have to pick. Okay, so 10 somewhat random tips, maybe any pattern some people might say for starting your first SaaS or subscription site. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Jeffrey Way, Laracast Snippet. I will see you later.